Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever!
Woo! Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Friday, April 19th, 2024 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Zach Boyd with you from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 55 degrees. It will get up to about 66 today. Cloudy, and then that cloud cover will continue throughout the evening. It'll be 52 for a low tonight, so dipping down a bit, and then in the wee hours of Saturday morning, we're looking at about 48 degrees, 63 for a high on Saturday, once again cloudy, and then Sunday we'll see some of the sun pop out, 64 degrees, partly sunny overall, and again an overnight low into Sunday morning of 42 degrees here in the Memphis area. Hour number two of the program is brought to you each and every day by our friends at James Gattis Jewelers, 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, on the web at GattisJewelers.com, and every Monday and Friday they bring you the Memphis Sports Fact. Did you know Memphis 901 FC has drawn FC Dallas from Major League Soccer, from the big league, in the round of 32 at the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup? The match will take place either May 7th or May 8th, and that will be at the Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas. Beautiful facility. But once again, Memphis looking to move up in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup like they did, I guess it was last year. I think they do it every year. Maybe it was 2 years ago. The time flies by, but they had beaten Atlanta from the MLS to move into the round of 16 before getting eliminated. So good luck to Memphis 901 FC. Again, if you're looking for that special engagement ring or jewelry of any type, it's James Gattis Jewelers. They are your bridal, engagement, and anniversary jeweler headquarters, 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GattisJewelers.com. It is a pleasure to be joined by our good friend, Brevin Knight. You know him as the Grizzlies television analyst. You also know him as the 12-year NBA point guard, Stanford graduate. But you may not know he is a future budding Champions Tour golfer. That's why he's out there every day playing 18 holes, maybe even 36. He's Brevin Knight. You can follow him on Twitter at BrevinKnight22. Hey, Brev.
What's going on there, Greg? How you feeling?
I'm doing okay. How about you? I mean, I know it's a premature ending to the season. You're used to the long run in April, May, maybe even, you know, one day we'll get into late June and win an NBA title. But for now, Brev, it's early golf season for you.
It is. It's a little bit weird. I mean, even though we all knew that, you know, from early in the year that this is going to be the outcome for this season, it's still is weird to not have been getting ready for what the matchup would be, what would be best for this team, what they look like, growl tiles being put on the chairs at the arena, some of the norms that we've become accustomed to. But you know, all teams go through this. A good thing for us, at least, you can feel as though this was just a one-off.
Yeah.
Because it was the injuries that caused it.
So, Brevin, there's a lot of debate that has gone on about Jaren Jackson Jr. at the four, at the five, who do you put alongside him, all of that. Going into this offseason, what do you think is the right player to put alongside Jaren Jackson Jr.?
I like Jaren playing at the four, and to find another physical five to play next to him, I think has worked really well with him. You go back with Valanciunas, so you can go back to Marc Gasol. Then you move on to Valanciunas, you move on to Steven Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to have someone else be able to take on that fight with other bigs in terms of the physical side of it, I think is nice to tandem him with, couple him with. And so hopefully they're able to find a legit five, a center that allows him to play the four. And then it can be, hey, you play the five in spot situations. But I'm not a fan of just saying that Jaren's going to be our starting five and then move forward in that fashion.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Now, are you thinking veteran, big man that they can get via a trade or free agency? Or are you thinking if they get lucky in the draft lottery and pick high enough to take one of those centers that are being looked at, like a Sarr, like a Klingon, but a young guy who would be thrown into the fire immediately, or maybe even both. So what's your thoughts on which direction they go in as far as a big man?
If you are thinking and thinking that the window for this team to still win a championship realistically can't be that many years down the road, it will have to be something that you're thinking is somewhere in the near future. So if you can find a vet who is a good screener, rim runner, rebounder, can be an adequate playmaker from the elbow, top of the key area, so that they can throw him the ball and there can be movement off of that guy, then I like a veteran guy in that position more than going out and getting a young guy that you're going to have to teach and learn how to not just play with the guys, but what the NBA game stands for. And now the flip side of that is, I haven't watched enough of these young guys in college to give a true assessment of will they help in terms of their skill. That one of them can be skilled enough that they can help right now. I haven't watched them, but in terms of the knowledge of the game, then it would be nice to have someone that understands the position right now so that at least you eliminate that one aspect of the learning curve with this team.
You obviously watch every game very, very closely. You're right there. You're watching it happen and breaking it down. Why doesn't Jaren get more rebounds?
I think the big thing is, and I wanted to go back and look and see what his rebound numbers were in college and see, was he a big rebound? Sometimes when guys are shot blocking defenders, they're not big rebounding defenders. Because a lot of your time is spent swiping at shots that are being taken.
So are you out of position? Are you out of position, brother, when you're trying to do that?
I wouldn't call it out of position, but you put yourself in a position where if I'm going to attempt to block your shot, it's hard for me to attempt to block it and rebound. So you got to do one or the other at some point. And so I think a lot of it for him is because the instinct is to go block the shot, then in some ways, the instinct to just go rebound the ball has taken a hit. And so it just becomes a mind. Then the other thing is, like I said, the luxury of having those other guys next to you doesn't make you feel like you've got to be the guy to be the rebounder. When you got Mark, when you have Valanciunas, when you have Steven Adams, and guys of that nature that are there, then you tend to, they'll get the rebounds, I do the other things. And I thought this year was almost more of, don't let my guy get it, y'all go get it. And so that's why I think we saw our guards be so good with rebounding the ball this season. But it's something that I think for him is watch some film, see where position-wise can you be in position better and to be able to grab rebounds. But rebounding is an art form. It's not something you just go out there and do.
He in college, he averaged 5.8 rebounds per game, and playing less than 22 minutes per game.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's like rebounding has never been a huge, huge part of his game. Now, if you can get him up to the 6-7 rebounds a game with all of the other things that he does, and now if he's blocking two shots a game, he's giving you 20 points on this end, get some assists, because then I think that makes up for. And the other guys on the team, you got to know that this is who he is. So that means that around that, you got to put guys around him who are good rebounders, whether it be from the big position or from the guard position.
The great Brevin Knight joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. So, Brev, I remember last offseason, last summer, once Marcus Smart was acquired, and the thought was, oh, I wonder how that's going to work with Bane and Ja and Marcus. We look forward to watching that. Unfortunately, this past season, you didn't see that because everybody was hurt. You saw a very, very small sample size. So, and I know anything's possible in the offseason with wheelings and dealings, but with the assumption that Marcus is back in the fold, what do you expect to see from those three guys? Do you expect Marcus to be a starter? Do you think he'll come off the bench? Because, again, you hated that now as another year has passed, and we still don't know how that combination works.
Yeah, I got the same feeling that I had even when we acquired him, was that no issue with the three of them playing together, but you are very small with the three of them playing together. And I thought, and what they were able to find this season and Vince Williams Jr. is that you can find a size wing player who can be sort of your 3-and-D guy if you want him to play alongside Dez and Ja. And if they don't go out and get another point guard of some sort, then now Marcus becomes your backup point guard, but he also becomes some of the punch that you'll need off of the bench. And I always say between him, GG Jackson, Brandon Clark comes back with the fire. You know, if what happens with Zaire, how he plays, how does Jake LaRavia keep moving forward? Like, you need somebody that when you look down at your bench, you can say there's somebody here on the bench who can go out and do something different than the guys on the floor. If you don't want to look at your bench and say, well, really, none of these guys are going to be better than the guys that we have in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it just gives the luxury of doing that. And that's not to say that he wouldn't finish games with the other two, because that's how it worked out. I just think in terms of matchups, in terms of what you're able to do with guys coming off the bench, it would be nice to have him as another as a luxury piece to say, now you go in, because he can change a game. Gigi can change a game. Brandon Clark can change a game. And so I think that's it would be a nice mix to have and an option to have with your bench players.
With Gigi, certainly the year took a turn, and everybody figured he was going to be the hustle the entire year. All things happened. He's up, and he performed well with the Grizzlies. Going into next year, like, how do you see where he fits in, and how big of a challenge is it especially for a guy as young as he is, to now when everybody's back, to figure out how you fit in a team with other stars instead of, you know, playing useless games where you could kind of shoot whenever you wanted to?
I think that's where the understanding of what it's going to take to win kicks in. And I think that Gigi has enough respect for those other guys that he will fall into what his role would be. But I think it can still be a big role, because, like I just said, you're going to need bench guys. And the reality of it is, bro, guys are going to get hurt next year. And with that, then you're going to still need some capable players. And so that's what he is. And I think that the difference in his role is the field goal attempts won't be there. Maybe not playing the amount of minutes that he played this year at a high clip, but his play is going to be instrumental in this team being good. I think that is the message that you get across. Keep working on your skills. Get stronger. Understand positioning. I like how they threw him out there defensively to guard multiple people, really good guards, some bigger wing players, something to mix it up for him. But I think the message is you keep growing and being the player that you are. Take good shots on the offensive end, hustle, make the plays that you've made, and his role will continue to grow with the more time he gets on the floor with those guys. But there has to be, at least at the beginning of the year, a little bit of a mental adjustment in terms of the shots that you get, but it does have to change how aggressive or the style of play that he has.
All right, Brevin, let's talk a little bit about the playoffs. We got the two final playing games tonight. We'll see what happens there. Lakers will draw Denver. They had them in the Western Conference Final last year and got swept. I can't imagine that they're going to give them much competition. Is this going to be Denver and Boston, and it's going to be simple, or is there going to be some complications and some excitement and some upsets?
Heck no, it won't be simple. We all think Denver, you give them their due respect. They come back with their team intact, coaches intact, everybody knowing exactly what they want to do. The big, you lose one Brown, but another Brown steps in for him, and as younger, a little bit more athletic to kind of play that role for them. And so, yeah, you can continue in the West, put them as the favorite, but it's not the favorite hands down by any stretch of imagination. Mm-hmm. And I think that once you get to the eight that are in, after you get the final two, the final team tonight, that anybody in the West to win the West at that point, because injuries are a part of it, but just in the fact that these are all one-offs in these games, and enough of these teams, the teams have enough talent. I mean, you're talking about the Lakers being in a 7-seed situation, the 8-seed team tonight, whichever team wins will be at a deficit because they'll be missing major players as they go into their series. But I think the Lakers will not... the Lakers will not get swept again by Denver. And I will go as far as to say that the Lakers could win two games, could win three games. They could win the series.
Really?
If LeBron James doesn't have to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get one of their role guys to be able to step up, they have the size and they have the talent to be able to deal with Denver and how they play. Because once people talk about the size of Denver, once they get past Jokic, their size diminishes very much.
Right.
Like they don't play another big center on the floor. That's why I talked about DeAndre Jordan being so crucial to them in the playoffs, where they're going to need him at some point. And so the Lakers have a, with their squad, they have a fantastic chance of being able to have a huge upset in that one.
With a team like Oklahoma City, we've obviously seen it gone third here with the Grizzlies. Like, they're obviously really, really good. You're the number one seed for a reason. But how big of a deal is it to have playoff experience? And in going in as a number one seed, how difficult is it for them because they just haven't been in that position?
I think it's twofold in that. It's difficult because, yes, you haven't been there. Guys really don't know what that environment is going to be like. You don't really understand how hard the other teams are going to play against you. But conversely is, nobody has high expectations for them being the number one seed. Everyone has them losing at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not as if you went in as the number one seed and now you're the Boston Celtics and you lose before getting to the final. Now that feels like everything was lost. You didn't, because the expectation of them to be there and be in the championship is across the board, not across the board for Oklahoma City. And a little bit of that, Daigneault can use a bit of that as fuel for his team in that, number one, no one expects us to be here. We're not supposed to be here. And now they don't even have us winning a first round. But let's go out and play and let's show who we really are. And I think that the rest of the country will get a chance to see when you put together a very good team and that plays team basketball but within that, you have the dynamic player that they have in SGA.
Mm-hmm.
It puts you in a position to be able to win a lot of basketball games. And just because it's not sexy to the rest of the country, people don't believe it. But if you walk in, if any team steps on that floor, half stepping a little bit against Oklahoma City, they will get beat.
By the way, before we let you go, who would you have as the MVP?
It's hard to go up against Jokic, but if the player for me that is who I can see is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
right?
And it's because he was able to do it to be the star of his team. He did it for a long stretch of the season without having to miss the games. Wasn't out, was available for the majority of the time. It's hard to go against Jokic because the team aspect, they're there again and what they did. But I could see SGA being a guy who was very, very close on his heel.
Do you got any big golf trips set up for the off season?
We're going to play a couple of TPC courses. We'll go up to Michigan and we'll go up to Wisconsin and play. May go to Erin Hills and play all of those courses there.
Nice.
Kohler?
Kohler in Wisconsin?
Yeah, Kohler is good. Kohler has a lot of courses there. But the problem is, eventually, my wife would say, "Well, do you live at home?" I gotta figure out how I'm going to finagle and space all of those out.
Yeah, the conniving we do as men trying to figure out how we can get around certain things.
Do you want your Giants to draft a quarterback next week?
I do not. I do not. I want the Giants to draft someone that is dynamic in their skill set on the offensive end, whether that be the wide receiver from LSU,
mm-hmm.
Someone who is a playmaker. I think that's the next step. We lost a huge playmaker in Saquon Barkley, and really haven't had the receiving threat. Man, you can almost go back to Plaxico Burress. I mean, I guess you say Odell Beckham was that in some way, but To have someone of size also, and I would love to get a wide receiver. I'm not off Daniel Jones yet, and I think we've invested too much to just say that's it without ever having a real offensive line again.
That's a great point. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I like the guy, but you're right. He has to stand upright to have any success. Good luck to your Giants. Great to talk to you again. Hopefully we get to do it sometime during the offseason. And then look forward again to you with Pete and the gang calling games once again next season. He's Grizzlies television analyst, 12-year NBA point guard, Stanford graduate and future Champions Tour golfer. He is the one and only Brevin Knight. You can follow him on Twitter at BrevinKnight22. Thank you, Brev.
Oh, man, good talking to you guys. You guys know my number. Just give me a buzz.
Sounds great. Thanks, man. Appreciate Brevin Knight always jumping on with us here on the program. We also appreciate All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. You want to get charged up? Come out to All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch and test drive one of the new EV Blazers. It's still Chevy truck season. If you're ready for a new Silverado, all the Silverados with financing down to 2.9 for 72 months, plus thousands in cash and trade. New Equinox and Trailblazers, 1.9% financing. And check this out, no payments for 90 days. You want pre-owned? Everything you want is there. Ram trucks, Jeeps, Tahoes, Suburbans, the Traverse with that third row seating. If it just happens that you're looking for something specific and it isn't there on the rare occasion, just ask Kevin or Jeff. They'll find it for you. Military, teachers, college students, healthcare workers, you get an extra $500 bonus when you purchase a vehicle from All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. So what are you going to be driving around this summer? What kind of vehicle will you be in? Make sure it's a luxury vehicle from All-Star Chevrolet where your family's going to feel good about those long drives around the nation. Remember, it's not South Haven, not Mount Moriah, not Bartlett, not Collierville. It has to be Olive Branch. Head on down there today. Say hi to the folks. Tell them you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings, or go online to see more about them. Find out more about the vehicles that they have at allstarautogroup.com. When we come back, one of the new members of the Memphis Tigers basketball team, Colby Rogers, will join us. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Don't you just love it?
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. 8:30 the time, halfway home on this Friday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you from the Family Leisure Studios. It's been a big morning for the University of Memphis with the news of the NIL deal with FedEx and the money that will be now given to the university for NIL. And that's perfect timing because we got a couple of athletes that will be joining us back-to-back here on the program a little bit later on. In fact, to start hour number three, we'll talk to Rock Taylor, Memphis Tigers wide receiver, the spring game tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And now it is our pleasure to be joined by one of the newest members of the Memphis Tigers. He's Colby Rogers, the 6'4", 190-pound guard who is coming over from Wichita State. You can follow Colby on Twitter at _ColbyRogers. He joins us now on Sports 56 Mornings. Colby, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations. I know it's a whole different landscape in collegiate sports, and these decisions aren't easy. But let me ask you the obvious one. Why Memphis? I know you played against Memphis at Wichita State. Why join Penny Hardaway's team?
Well, thank you, first of all. But I would just say the staff, Memphis program, they just aligned my goals for my last year. I went on a visit, and I had great talks with Penny, great talks with the staff. I feel like the city has a lot to offer in terms of networking and just being in a basketball city. But also, I want to be somewhere that's, you know, known for winning, that has a winning culture. So all those things align for me.
Colby comes in after a season at Wichita State where he averaged 16.4 points per game, 3.4 rebounds per game, shot nearly 41% from three, and that's a high volume of shots. So here's a guy who could knock down that outside shot and something that Memphis has been missing. I hear you what you're saying about Penny, and obviously they have produced NBA players, and that would be the ultimate goal, I'm sure, for you. But when you look at the roster and you realize that there wasn't that many players on the roster, and he's going to build this roster, that's kind of a leap of faith, is it not?
Yeah, it is. But I think, like I said, the goals that Penny has for this team in this upcoming year, you know, they align with my goals, which is, you know, winning at the most important thing. Just to have, you know, like I told someone earlier, they had PJ Haggerty commit, mm-hmm. The big man from Illinois commit. So I can see the, you know, the progress he's making in terms of building that team. And, you know, I was one of the guys that, you know, fit into that, you know, the piece of the puzzle, so to speak. But also the guys that were already committed kind of, you know, reached out to me and showed interest in me. So to have that interest, you know, just not only from the coaches, but from the players is a good feeling. And it helps with, you know, the cohesion and building of a team.
You mentioned Haggerty. How much did he play a part in kind of helping recruit you here? And your fit around a guy like that, how much does that appeal to you?
I think we complement each other. You know, he's more of a guy that's going to, I mean, obviously he can make a shot, but, you know, he likes to draw fouls, get to the line. I'm more of a, you know, a shooter, scorer, playmaker, shot maker kind of person. I think I could learn from him in terms of, you know, being able to get to the line, being aggressive, getting downhill. And I think, you know, he can play off me with my spacing that will allow for driving lanes for him, but also just, you know, to, you know, play off each other. You know, I feel like, because our games are different, they help, you know, the contrast helps the team as a whole. So it's not like two of the same players. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I mean, he's one of the best freshmen in the country. I mean, be able to, you know, teach him some of the things I know and learn from him as well. I think that's good. And to be able to play with, you know, good quality players, it's a good way of iron sharpening iron for, you know, all of us to get better as a team. But I think, you know, just in the backcourt, I think us two, we can really, you know, find a nice common ground and really build off that. I think it'll be great going forward.
Colby Rogers joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. I would imagine, and maybe Penny's had this conversation with you, but because of your experience, and you've been around the college game for a while, and the lack of returning players on this roster, you will probably be thrust into that leadership role, one of the leaders of the team in your first and what will be your only year at Memphis. Are you ready to take those responsibilities and run with it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just a matter of just establishing that, you know, we're all here to win. I think, you know, me being someone that hasn't really won as much in college, that's something I've been, you know, fighting for, something I've, you know, want to become better at and just become a winner and impact winning. I think that's a great person. Penny's a great person to learn from, but also just me being around college. I mean, there's a lot I've learned just playing a game. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, quote unquote, a veteran at this, so to speak. So I think being able to have some of that experience just rub off on, you know, some of the younger guys and the guys that come in from different programs. Just to be someone that's steady, someone that shows up every day, someone that's consistent. That's the type of leadership you'll get from me. I'm willing to, you know, sacrifice and commit everything to winning. I feel like, you know, as a team, if we win as a team, everyone else benefits. And that's just kind of the mindset I have going into it. And, you know, my goal is to continue that. I'm trying to rub off on the other guys, you know, just be that steady person that people can lean on.
You kind of hit on a little bit, but obviously the shooting numbers speak for themselves, but what are the other areas that you want to develop in your game in this final year you'll have here at the University of Memphis?
You know, just to show that I can, you know, impact winning, show that I can do the intangible things, but also show that I can play with other players and, you know, make players better. I think using my shooting as a tool to open up things on the floor is very important for guys, especially like Haggerty and, you know, the big man coming in, David or Danny, just to give that space, but also use my shooting as, you know, someone I can drive closeouts, get in the paint, make plays off the bounce, make plays off the pick and roll, make plays in transition. And just using my IQ, being able to, you know, do things like backdoor cut, set screens, just to get the defensive rotation to kind of create a chain reaction, things like that. But defensively, I think, you know, I have another level to reach. I think I have good size, good length, someone that can guard the both one and two spots. It's something I want to prove on the show as well.
Tell us a little bit about, and tell the listeners a little bit about your journey. It started back in 19 at Cal Poly, and now this will be your fourth school. So just a little bit about your history at the college level.
Yeah, originally my freshman year I went to Cal Poly. Kind of was, you know, the only option for me at the time, but turned out, you know, one of the best options that I've, you know, made in terms of, as a freshman, we had to play a lot of minutes. Mm-hmm. Our non-conference schedule was pretty strong because we had a lot of buy-in games. So we played, I think, I want to say four top 25 ranked teams that year. So just being able to experience that as a freshman to see, like, okay, this is winning and this is what it looks like at the highest level was an eye-opener. It was great for me. Second year, it was kind of the COVID year, so it was a very weird year in terms of, you know, with COVID and, you know, no fans and games being canceled, that type of thing. And then, you know, I wanted to go somewhere that had a better program, somewhere that was better for me, somewhere that would challenge me. And Siena proved to be just that. I mean, I had one of my best shooting years in my career there, which, you know, definitely was good for me and was able to show the country that I can consistently shoot the ball at a high level. You know, and then I just wanted to go somewhere that I could, you know, get more. I mean, my goal has always been to play basketball at the highest level.
Right.
That's kind of what I wanted to use or wanted to get out of the transfer portal, just to keep improving, keep getting to that level. You know, I started low, but I figured if I do well enough at each level, I can just keep improving. That's just been my whole thought process and goal with my journey so far. So now that I'm towards the end of this journey, I want to make sure that I put my best foot forward and showing that, you know, I can win, showing that I'm a professional. Make sure that I can play at the next level. So that's kind of, you know, been my journey.
Makes sense.
This, past 4 or 5 years.
You mentioned the year at Siena and the shooting numbers, because it did take the big jump up from Cal Poly. And obviously this year it continued at up over nearly 41%. Was that just putting a lot of work in on it? Was there like an adjustment made? Why the big jump when you were able to get to Siena with the three-point shot?
I would definitely say it's a product of continued work. You know, so my shot has always been something that I've kind of made a cornerstone in my game, but just continue to improve it, continue to work it. But I think Siena allowed me to kind of fall into that role. We had a couple of players, you know, we had a grad transfer from Northwestern. We had some older guys there. So I kind of just found that role, that niche, and, you know, it was fruitful for me and our team. You know, and it just was the right opportunity, the right fit at the time, which allowed me to, you know, shoot, kind of, you know, focusing on that role, not worry about, you know, other things outside of that. So I just, you know, I flourished there. It was a good team, good conference for me at the moment. And that's just, you know, why the numbers were what they were.
We had PJ Haggerty on the show last week, and he talked about how he was going to reach out to players that he knew that were in the portal about Memphis. And then lo and behold, like the next day or two, we find out about you, and you already talked about him contacting you. Are there players that you have been in contact with to also help in the recruiting process?
I wouldn't say not necessarily been in contact with. You know, I kind of just, you know, just committed, so I wanted to make sure I had everything straight there.
Sure.
You know, and then just to look at a different, you know, talk with him, look at a different prospects he's looking at in the portal, different things like that. And, you know, if he asks for my input, you know, I'll happily give it to him. I'll happily reach out to other guys. I think that's a great recruiting tool and a great feeling as a guy in the portal to know that the team that you may possibly go to has players that are excited to play with you and actually want to play with you. I think that kind of helps the process, you know, move forward, because not only the coach, but you have players that are there that you may have known, seen, played against, that are like, you know, I want to play with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a great feeling going into it. So, I mean, I would happily do that. I mean, it helped me get there. So I know what it's like to be on the other side of that. And I think it would be good, you know, if I'm needed in that way, to, you know, help, you know, potential guys come to Memphis.
When you transferred from Siena to Wichita State, you had to sit out the 1 year. And then you played this past season. So your redshirt year, you were there with Jaquan Walton, correct?
Correct.
Okay, obviously Jaquan playing the one season here at Memphis.
Are you guys tight? Have you talked to him about the Memphis experience?
No, we're not as tight as we used to be. Mm-hmm. I haven't really spoken to him about it. Just we haven't really, you know, been in communication like that.
Okay.
You know, for whatever reason, but.
Fair enough.
I always like to fight. Like, how much did you know about Penny Hardaway before you're being recruited and coming here?
I knew who he was as a player. Obviously, you know, someone that studies the game, you know who Penny is. So that's where some of my excitement came from. But as a coach, as a person, I've never really spoken to him, never really, you know, obviously been coached by him. So I only kind of knew from the outside looking in about mm-hmm. Penny.
What about the fact that you will be playing in an NBA arena with the Grizzlies sharing that arena with you guys, with the Grizzlies being a part of this city, and they've had a great relationship with Memphis basketball? What is that going to be like for you? What do you see in the future for this upcoming season?
That just had me very excited. Being an NBA city, being an NBA arena, it's a different level of, you know, joy you get from just playing and knowing that this is your home arena, an arena that an NBA team plays in, an NBA team shares, that the city knows and goes to. So that just gives you a good feeling every time you walk in that arena. Second, just to be around and be in, similar circles in terms of an NBA team,
mm-hmm.
I think that's super beneficial. I think the stuff that you can learn and extract from just being around and the stuff that can rub off on you, I think that's priceless, and that's, you know, where I want to be in the next year. So I think the best thing for me is to, you know, obviously be around that, to learn, soak up information, to be able to visualize and see the NBA game and try to, you know, imitate that and practice in games in college. I think that's the best thing for a player like me who's, you know, has his last year, and to be so close to that, that was definitely something that interests me a lot.
What's the timetable? When will you be able to come to Memphis?
I want to say late May, early June. Mm-hmm. I would want to move in kind of early, get established, kind of build a routine for the summer, and then just go from there, be able to, you know, hopefully connect with teammates early, try to get in the gym with guys early to just establish that camaraderie, that cohesion, to start that process. So I would try to say move in definitely late May, but no later than early June.
Gotcha. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. We look forward to covering you, to watching you play here in Memphis. He's Colby Rogers. You can follow him on Twitter @_ColbyRogers. Colby, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Take care. Folks, we also appreciate Jenkins Floors and More, and they invite you to their retail warehouse where they pass wholesale savings on to you. Jenkins Floors in Hernando, Little Rock, and Cleveland specializes in flooring and carpeting, tile, plantation shutters, blinds. Jenkins makes your life easy with a two-week turnaround. They'll come to your house. They'll come to your business. They will give you a free estimate. They will bring you samples. Again, they make it easy for you. And that two-week turnaround is unheard of. So contractors, builders, obviously family projects, call 662-469-9350, again, for a free estimate. Timmy and Rebecca Jenkins, they're just good people. They're the owners of this company, family-owned and operated. They say hello to Sports 56 fans. They look forward to your business. It's Jenkins Floors and More. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, the breaking news from the University of Memphis involving FedEx and NIL. We'll get to that in case you've missed it. When we return, this is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gaddis Jewelers.
To reveal the full spectrum of its dazzling color.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. How impressive was Colby Rogers?
Yeah, impressive, young man. It's certainly, I think he's put thought into it and everything, and very impressive to hear from him and So hopefully it works out. Again, I mean, when you're, it's weird anytime you're thinking about a kid who's on his fourth college. that's the reality of today's world. And hopefully it works out well. And hopefully he's able to continue to do what he's done at his last couple stops with the shooting numbers, especially, but also, as he said, continue to develop the rest of his game.
I like his answer that just getting into the portal to be able to move up in stature as far as the programs that he was playing for. Obviously, NIL money has something to do with that, but this isn't, you know, a top five player who's taken that big leap up to this huge NIL rich school. Although, when I give you the details, if you haven't heard yet about what FedEx and the NIL at Memphis is doing, it's getting much better and better. But the point is, when you go from Cal Poly to Siena to Wichita State, this isn't strictly about NIL. This is about moving up the ranks, and now he's taking that jump to the University of Memphis. If you missed our interview with Kobe Rogers or our interview with Brevin Knight, they will both be posted on the website, sportsmemphis.com, under featured audio. Rock Taylor is going to join us at 9:05, Tigers wide receiver. We'll also post that interview in case you can't tune in, but I suggest that you do. But the big news this morning is the announcement that FedEx they've announced an NIL program that benefits the University of Memphis student-athletes. FedEx will invest $5 million per year for the next 5 years in University of Memphis student-athletes who will be promoting FedEx initiatives, with the program initially centered around football, men's and women's basketball, and additional women's sports.
Yeah, it's great news. You know, FedEx had been, from my understanding, pretty reluctant to get into the NIL world. But obviously jumping in head first here at that type of commitment, again, you can't. The university especially, but really the city as a whole, could never possibly repay FedEx for what they've meant for this city and for that university. Again, just looking at within the last whatever few months, and what's going to be happening going forward, it's a $50 million towards the stadium renovations, and now a $25 million commitment towards NIL. I mean, it's just what they continue to do to support that university and support the city as a whole is absolutely amazing. And again, thank you. There's no way to possibly thank them enough for what they do.
FedEx will host its first in-person NIL initiative at the spring game tomorrow, enhancing the event with a tailgate experience. FedEx will have many initiatives throughout the year that will utilize student-athletes, capitalizing on their name, image, and likeness through social media programs, in-person events, and FedEx Cares initiatives. So again, begins tomorrow. Hopefully, a nice crowd will be out there tomorrow afternoon to watch the Tigers spring game, the blue versus the gray, which will kick off at 3 o'clock. Here's a quote from Brian Phillips, the EVP and CMO at FedEx. "We evaluated the evolving NIL landscape, exploring how we can best deliver positive impact to student athletes and connect them to meaningful opportunities for both themselves and the community, and made the decision to reallocate marketing funds to an NIL platform. This gives us an opportunity to invest in bright young athletes in our great hometown of Memphis, strengthening our connection to the next generation of leaders." This is what NIL was meant to be, because they will be doing things for that money through what FedEx has to offer. I just mentioned those connections, the programs, the in-person events, the FedEx Care initiatives. But they're also looking at possible future FedEx employees and maybe executives. Not all these athletes are playing professional ball and are not all going to make millions and millions of dollars, a very, very minimal amount. Who knows? Maybe none of them that are currently playing. The point is that FedEx looks at it, we can help out the hometown university as we've done before. We can get involved in this NIL, but we're getting a lot in return, as those players, those student-athletes, again, are doing things for that pay, and then maybe in the long run, they are auditioning their company to these future employees, whatever field that may be. Maybe they're looking at becoming an employee in some way, some fashion with FedEx. It's a win-win.
Yeah, and not only does it obviously help for a guy like Ryan Silverfield, for Penny Hardaway, for all of the coaches and everybody else and the entire university as a whole, but and again, you hope as we move along and whatever the next conference realignment situation might be, that these conferences notice this type of investment in the university. We've seen or heard in the past of FedEx basically trying to buy Memphis's way into conferences or whatever, but this is investment into to the school that will just improve the school, and hopefully the conferences recognize that, and this gets you into one of those conferences when that next round of realignment takes place.
Memphis is also announcing that they are in an NIL, I'm not sure if it just started or they've been doing it, but an NIL campaign hoping to raise another $2.5 million from fans. Now, is that their annual goal? I'm not sure, but $2.5 million is the number here in this story. So they are trying to add that to the $5 million that they'll get each of the next 5 years from FedEx. It's not quite the match that we talked about with the stadium when Memphis has to raise $50 million to match that $50 million pledged by the Fred Smith family for the renovations for Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. So I love the fact that here's FedEx. It's not just we're throwing the money haphazardly at you because, you know, you're part of this community and we care about you and we have buildings with the name FedEx on the campus. No, they're making sure that, look, we're going to do this for you, but you have to do this for yourself as well. So you have to match in the case of the stadium, or you need to also raise other funds. And that's exactly what they're trying to do from an NIL standpoint. Where this puts them within the conference, I don't know. How it's being broken down within those sports that I talked about, I have no idea. But this is certainly a huge positive story for Memphis.
East Coast Wings and Grill, the place to go to watch all of the sports action. The NBA playoffs getting underway this weekend, starting with the, of course, play-in games tonight. And then through the weekend, all of the first-round series will be get underway. You'll have Major League Baseball. They've got the baseball package. So any Major League Baseball games that are on, you can watch those over at East Coast Wings and Grill. Of course, the UFL, including the Showboats. All of that stuff's going to be on television. And, of course, you can watch it all at East Coast Wings and Grill while enjoying some great food and drinks while you're at it. Any of their 60 flavors of wings that they've got to choose from, maybe one of their great burgers or flatbreads, anything on that menu. There's so many things to choose from. Absolutely delicious. But again, the wings are obviously the star of the show, and there's a flavor for everybody when you're talking about 60 different flavors and 7 different heat indexes that you can find at East Coast Wings and Grill. Monday through Friday, 3:30 to 6, happy hour with 2-for-1 on the draft beers, other specials as well. Monday nights, they do the live team trivia that you can take a part in. Of course, they've got their rewards program. Get a rewards card. Every dollar you spend earns you rewards at East Coast Wings and Grill. Located just off Highway 64, Kate Hyde Boulevard runs right between Lowe's and Walmart. They're off Highway 64 in Bartlett, and that's where you'll find East Coast Wings and Grill.
One of the many student-athletes benefiting from the NIL, Rock Taylor, Tigers wide receiver, joins us next to open up Hour 3. Then we got 10 in a row, the game show that has swept the nation. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.